Hutton, and I'm interviewing Mr. Malcolm on the date of January 5th on Rotary's Past. Okay. This is just a general question. Okay, what do you remember about Rotary's Past?
Rotary started in 1905 in Chicago. A man who was a lawyer by the name of Paul Harris invited, I think it was three or four other people to have lunch with. They were in different occupations, and they sat down at lunch and discussed different problems, different concerns. And from this, they started a Rotary Club. They would meet at one person place one time, another place the next, and so they rotated the name Rotary. Mm-hmm. The thing caught on, and today it's a worldwide organization, and it's Rotary International. In fact, I have a card here. There are presently 23,798 Rotary clubs, mm-hmm. with a total membership of over a million people in 162 countries. Mm. So, this gives you an idea of the background and extent of Rotary.
Yeah, that's good. This is just another general question, really. Tell me what you remember about how Rotary helps build a better world.
All right, the very purpose of Rotary is to, they live by certain ideals, and I think I have them here. One of them is so-called four-way test, and this is something that the Rotarians are asked to apply to all their business operations that they deal with. Number one, is it the truth? Number two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? And four, will it be beneficial to all concerned? And if you think about that, those four areas cover pretty much life in general, and that is the purpose, object of Rotary. Going a little further, the objects at Rotary as such, development of acquaintance as an opportunity of service, high ethical standards in business and professions, recognition of the worthiness of all useful occupations, and dignifying by each Rotarian of his occupation as an opportunity to serve society. Third one is the application of the ideal of service by a Rotarian to his personal business community life. And last, the advancement of international understanding, goodwill, and peace through fellowship of business and professional men united in the ideals of service. Because that professional men should be changed to be professional men and women. Yeah. So those are the purposes of Rotary.
What do you remember about the acceptance of new countries to the choices of exchange students going, like, when they first started to go to a new country?
Okay. Going in the background, the Rotary Club was responsible for helping Chesson High School get started on its first student exchange program. At that time, we worked with a different organization. It was called International Field Service, I think it was called. And we worked with them to get the program started. That was before Rotary had an exchange program of their own. Then we went with Youth for Understanding. We worked in that program some years, and then, I don't know how many years ago now it was, Rotary started their own youth exchange program. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the last 10 years, approximately. And now it's a Rotary program in itself.
Is there anything else you can remember about new countries?
Well, it spread rapidly, as you can tell, from 1900. It started, of course, in the United States. Rather than Canada was the first one to have a club outside of the United States. The very idea has spread, and of course, each club may sponsor another club. For instance, the Chesson Rotary Club was started probably 50 years ago, next May, and it was sponsored by the Frankenmuth Rotary Club. Now, we've tried different times to start some other clubs in our area, but so far have been successful. We started one in Montreal, but they didn't have the membership to keep going. That's how it spread. One club will sponsor another, that'll build, they'll sponsor another, and so on.
How were the students taken care of in the countries in which they went? Were they supervised at all? Or?
The exchange students?
Yeah.
In most cases, they are. There's a few, it varies from country to country. Mm-hmm. I know some of our kids that have gone overseas have had a lot of attention and direction and help. Others go over and they're almost all on their own, mm-hmm. as far as any Rotary Clubs are concerned. Now you're hoping to go on
yeah.
a program,
mm-hmm.
and let's hope that you get to one where they are supportive. But this does vary with the community country. A lot of our students have been going to Brazil mm-hmm. for the last few years, and in most cases they've had pretty good direction and help.
Mm-hmm.
Local clubs. I don't think any of them probably do any more than Chesnut does,
yeah.
because we have that person there every meeting
mm-hmm.
to help them as far as an allowance, see that they have trips, take trips, see the country.
Mm-hmm. That's good too. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the rules these students have as exchange students? Different regulations.
I can't give you the exact rules they have. I would assume they're about the same as what the exchange students have who come here.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I know the students that come here are not allowed to drive.
Mm-hmm.
They can't drive an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably would go the same over there. I think it would be generally good habits and so on. I don't think there's any. There are some specifics, but I don't know what they are. May I ask you back? Maybe you know all of some.
Yeah, I probably know
more than I would.
Yeah.
What's expected of you?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it would be generally expected good citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we do expect our students going to overseas to be a representative of the United States,
mm-hmm.
sort of an ambassador of goodwill.
Okay, that's good.
One of the things that I'd like to get in here is the fact that Rotary takes on a lot of international projects, and right now they're involved in what is called Polio Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what this program is, all the Rotary clubs in the world are raising money for the purpose of inoculating youngsters, especially the third world countries, to erase polio
mm-hmm.
as a disease. And we've raised several $1 million. For instance, our local club is our goal of $4,500. And we're, I think, at around 4,000 now.
Oh.
But this is one thing the Rotary's taken on
mm-hmm.
to eliminate polio.
I know when I was doing my research for this interview, I was reading the Rotarian, and the Rotary's been involved in Polio Plus for a while, too. It's something that...
They're the originators
mm-hmm.
of this program.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there any other programs you can think of like this?
Well, not exactly like that. One of the recent issues of the Rotary Magazine listed all the programs that Rotary is involved in. One is a scholarship program that Rotary picks up the bill for students at college level to study in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
We have another thing that Rotary does. They'll have a full service study team, and they'll take some young people, maybe half a dozen, from this country, send them to Australia, then in turn Australia will send a group back here. And that happens with all countries in the United States and other countries of the world. And these are people, well, to give you an example, Rick Raymond, who went to Poland
mm-hmm.
was on a group study exchange, he went to India.
Oh.
And that type of thing happened with Rick Raymond over too. But I had to listen to all of them. I think it's in this magazine. I'll check it. I have a blank spot on your tape here.
Oh, that's okay.
This is the issue. Might say locally, we have projects also. For instance, the year I was president of Rotary, which was 1968, our local goal that year was to buy a swimming pool heater for the pool down the park.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that. And of course, we've had today a large part of our money goes for Polio Plus, another part for the student exchange program. That's probably the biggest local efforts of the Chesnut Club.
What else can you remember about being president in 1968, was it?
Yes.
What was your responsibilities?
Well, as president, you want to keep the program going so it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
People are interested in being in Rotary. And, of course, you oversee the total operation. You preside at each meeting. And a Rotary meeting has a regular format that will be about the same wherever you go. You start with the We Sing America, be a prayer, then there will be the meal. Then there's introduction of guests, and then there's usually a short business meeting, just some things that have to be taken care of. Then the program itself. And this could vary because each member will be responsible for a certain number of programs during the year. It might be a speaker, it might be a film, it might be the Rotarian himself telling about his business or what he does. So it makes an interesting format. And as president, you're responsible that all this works together. Have an interesting educational program.
I'm just writing down some things. Okay. If you can remember, how did the acceptance of women change how Rotary was, or did they add anything to it?
There was quite a struggle in Rotary International. Of course, the only country now, I don't think all the countries have accepted yet. Mm-hmm. And of course, what changed things in the United States was the California case, where the courts ruled that they must be accepted. I think some clubs are still resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Our own club didn't really make that much of it. We just brought in a few women. Now, in the Justin River Club, and there wasn't much feeling one way or the other. They resented it. They didn't push that hard, really. It was fine.
Yeah.
And we had some people who were qualified. They're good men.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what I want.
Oh, yeah. As time goes on, there'll be more people who are more interested in
right.
more. Men and women, too.
True.
This is sort of a repeat of another question I asked, but what did Rotary do to promote peace and understanding throughout the world?
Well, just the fact that there are Rotary clubs all over the world with similar goals, I think, does it. Here's a summary of what Rotary is. It says, Rotary is a service organization of business and professional leaders united worldwide to conduct humanitarian projects, encourage high ethical standards in all vocations, to work towards world understanding of peace. And that's what they do. And of course, this goes through and expresses some of the ideas and things they work with. For instance, the Rotary Foundation, which is a part of Rotary, contributes approximately $25 million annually to various educational and humanitarian programs to promote international understanding. Lately, one of the latest ones is a forum. They call it a peace forum, where they get leaders together, some of your higher-up leaders in the country, Secretary of State, and so on, to just sit down and discuss what could be done to promote international peace and understanding. They call it a forum. This is one of the newer projects we started.
Did they do things like that, like they have the forum program back in the 1960s?
Forum something? Program, no, just started. It's only been, I think, this is the second year. Actually, probably one of the best things that we do as far as international understanding is the exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly people we've had that come back have a different feeling about that country than history. And often go back and visit again. I'm sure a lot of exchange students that came to Chesney would come back later.
Yeah.
This summer we had a young man from Finland, Briscoe Tinnen. And this is the second time he's been back to Chesney since he was an exchange student.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is an interesting one. Vice President George Bush once said, Rotary is an example to all the world of the value that makes free societies endure. What do you think this meant to the Rotary students back in when you were president? And to the Rotarians themselves?
Well, I would think it would, I think that's a true statement. I would think it would reinforce our feelings about it. As Vice President, President, your life would make a statement about it. Sorry. I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Everybody would probably.
Yeah. know if I completely answered your question, but...
Well, it's pretty good.
I don't know how to do it otherwise.
How did you feel about... Let's see, how can I read it? How did you feel personally about promoting peace and understanding, having the vice president say something like this?
Well, I think it's a key to peace, international peace, to have people make a statement of that type. I don't think there's any question that what we have to know each other better to ever achieve world peace. And I think some people think it's impossible, maybe, I don't know. But I think that the more we get to know each other, certainly through that through exchange program, through the clubs that are spread throughout the world, I think we're closer to it. It's a positive step in the direction of international peace.
Why do you think the normal, everyday business people, why do you think they join Rotary, take so much time out of their own business life and join a club?
Well, certainly, many of them, you're dedicated to what you're doing, but it's fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a big part of Rotary is the fellowship, getting together. We're a service club, yes. That means we're to help a fellow man, but we're also a luncheon club, and we enjoy getting together, a lot of good fellowship, a nice, friendly atmosphere, and we just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have some good meals, because we eat at Heritage House.
One
of the things that Rotary encourages, too, is that you have perfect membership, if possible,
mm-hmm.
and perfect attendance at your meetings. Well, obviously, you can't be at every meeting, like every Tuesday noon, be at Chester Rotary. So you can make up at other clubs. You're encouraged to do that. You can make up either a week before or a week after. And, of course, we have a listing of when the Clio Club meets, the mm-hmm. Frankenwood Club, the Drug Club, the Wasp Club, and so on. You can make up at that. In fact, I've made up in Chicago. I've made up in Minneapolis. Made up in Florida. Made up in Lima City, New Jersey. And that's
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Both these different club meetings, because they're a little different in their operation.
Yeah.
For instance, the club in Chicago is about 500 members.
Wow.
And the Minneapolis club is around 350.
Mm-hmm. I know when I was looking in the Cheslin Public Library, they had a, I think it was a chart of who was missing that day and what different days of Rotary meetings and what other ones were.
That's all part of it here, like this particular meeting here. I just brought this regular bulletin. We had six members absent.
Mm-hmm. That's what they had in their archives, letters and stuff.
This club, I think I mentioned before, will be 50 years old this
mm-hmm.
spring.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a special dinner. We have one charter member left who was originally a member of the club, the first club, and that's Bill Morris,
mm-hmm.
who's still a member.
Mm-hmm.
A member for 50 years.
It must be pretty good if they stay in it that
yep,
long.
I should say so.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. In your view, what has Rotary given to the world and to the students that it sends overseas every year?
I think we've just provided the means for what we believe and hope will help understanding. I think we're just trying to make it possible. Better world understanding. People aren't that much different.
Yeah.
When you go to Russia or any place in Europe, whatever, there's a third world or more different customs there than most places. But even then, people are people. Basically, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have anything to do with Rotary, but recently the public television had a series on Russia, and they were dealing with the people of Russia rather than the government
mm-hmm.
as such. And they dealt with the various states in Russia. And if anyone watched that, they would certainly have a different feeling for the country. And of course, if the student Rotarian lives there, they would just feel
yeah.
the country and they understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Rotary does.
Yeah. I know a lot of times the government of a country, people just think of the government as the people, and the
right.
people are much different sometimes than the government is.
One of the things that came out, the people that live in Russia, in the area between Moscow and Poland, that particular sector, they have been involved in war so many times, armies going one way or the other, that they're deathly afraid of war. This is the big push for those people. They peace is so important, probably more important than for the people in the United States, because they witnessed the ravages of war. It's a terrible situation.
This, in a few years, Rotary is supposed to do start a Rotary club behind the Iron Curtain in Poland or somewhere. What do you remember, like, was there any big obstacle to get over, like, new countries back then? Like Russia we have now, we're kind of conquering, but was there any countries like that?
I don't know. I don't know enough of the background history to know if the governments resented and prevented them coming in, whether this was a problem or not. I would think it would be in certain countries where they have dictatorship and that type of thing, but I'm not aware of the problems that were encountered there. I can't speak to that.
What did the students think? What do you think the students gained as a result of their year abroad in another country?
I think they grew up a lot. You become much more independent. Family, you have to do things, just traveling down their back is an experience. But you have to adjust. And I think so often people in this country, they're in their own little cubicle, and they think that is life, and it isn't. That's life here, yes, but there's so much more. And I think if a student comes back, they're a much larger person. They've got different perspectives, understanding, both in travel, experiences. I don't think there's anything you can do that will open a person's mind, vision, like this one.
That's true. Let's see.
You talk to a lot of people that have never been out of the state of Michigan. They're not even aware of other people in the United States, let alone other countries.
I've hardly ever been out of Michigan at all. That's part of the reason why I want to do this.
Well, my first experience getting out and traveling, of course, is when I was in the Navy in World War II. And found out I could travel. I found it wasn't that scary, and it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've been with a lot of different cities. But it's there's a lot of different areas to see in this country. But even when you go to another country, more so, we spent a lot in Mexico here ago last fall. And educational periods of my life. I'd heard about it, I'd seen movies, pictures of it, but it's not the same.
But I have water
you were principal here, right?
Yes.
What can you remember about the kids that were applying to be exchange students? Were they
ones applying to go out? I think in all I don't recall if we've ever had any particular problems with our people, especially the youngsters, have always turned out very well. I think more of the interesting part as principal was dealing with the students who were visiting here, exchange students from other countries. We had some come in that couldn't speak English. And this is obviously a real problem, especially if it happens to be a language where we can't find someone who's perfect. If it's Spanish, we can go to a Spanish teacher, if it's French or something like that, but if it happens to be Chinese, we have real problems. We've had students come here who were used to being waited on. We had servants to pick up after them and cater to their every whim. Of course, they moved into it. We had one young lady, she's from Chile, who lived in that type of a home in Chile. And then she came here and she went to a farm family. Of course, on the farm, they were. They had jobs to do and so on. And she had a hard time adjusting to that. But most of them do adjust. Time, you love it. I think of a girl we had a short time ago that was from Germany that became homesick and had to go home early. Well, then she really missed Chesney after she went home. I know she's been back at least twice to visit since she went back to Germany. So I think the more interesting part for me has been the students coming here.
Yeah.
That part Father Banks and selecting students from overseas. They've done one. I think our testing students have been exceptional.
That's good for kids like me who want to travel and learn how to live in different ways like they're not used to. A lot of different challenges for them in the past and for us now, too, I'm sure.
You will, I'm sure, have a really great experience.
I hope so.
Do you know yet where you're going?
Not yet. Soon, I hope. So. I keep waiting.
Is this summer?
This year is going by way too fast.
Life does that.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the dreams and ambitions that Rotary clubs had that they would like to fulfill? They would have liked to fulfill in the past.
I'm trying to think of some of the other projects. Education has been one of the big ones, of course, and the scholarship programs that we've mentioned, the youth exchange program. Probably the big thing is a lot of independent operations that a club will take on. For instance, the Rotary magazine each month, it'll highlight what some of the clubs are doing. And might have an article on something that a California club is doing, or a club in India, a special project they're taking on. India seems to do this a lot. I guess a lot of the people who are in Rotary and India are quite wealthy. And of course, there's a lot of poverty. Malnutrition, all kinds of problems. And you will see clubs will take on a project to help a community, get their water purified, or their clean water, sewage, that practical help. You'll see that also in this country. A certain club will take on a certain project in that community. So, in addition to the international programs, which are broad, there's a lot more going on just by those clubs. One of the things that our local club does, of course, is work with this economics course, starting
students
here.
Yeah.
And the club sponsors one class.
It's
a local project.
What else did the Chesney Rotary Club do in the society?
The past. All right. Well, there's some of the projects we've worked on. At the duck race last summer, Chihuahua duck race, we were the main ones in that. Of course, that was some of that fun was going to help repair the dam. Some of the portfolio bus. There's the swimming pool heater. We've had projects every year that we always pick up one or two, but I have trouble right now remembering what they are. I should. I can't come up with them right now.
That's okay. Well, let's see. I think you have any questions. Do you think that Rotary was as big a deal in the past as, I don't know if people think it was a big deal, but I know I do, but in the past was it as big of a thing as it is now?
Well, it's been growing, so I guess you could say that it's getting bigger and better known each year. Very few communities in the United States that have a Rotary Club. Mm-hmm. You notice when you're traveling through the country, sign on the outskirts of town quite often. You'll see the Rotary emblem. Mm-hmm. Say Rotary meets such and such on such a day. So it's been growing. I think it's probably become better known to young people through the exchange program. Although I remember I was a student Rotarian when I was in high school myself, so my first memories of Rotary was when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it then. I guess the thing that impressed me at that time, I was seeing people in the community that I looked up to, leadership positions, bankers, lawyers, businessmen, educators, whatever, in a much more relaxed setting than what I was used to.
Yeah.
I saw these people, see a banker, he's pretty businesslike, pretty serious. Here, school administrator, likewise. Excuse me. But I went to Rotary Club, Hastings, Michigan, which is my hometown, And I saw these people relaxed, laughing, joking, this type of thing. And it was a fun experience for me. And I was, I didn't know at that time that I would become a Rotarian later in life.
What can you remember? You were a Rotarian in, the, in your senior year of high school. What can you remember about that, your thoughts and what you see?
The most interesting part of it, I guess, was during the year, as they do here, we would be student Rotarians. We'd go to Rotary Club, and I think I went for a month or something like that. And probably the most interesting experience was the at the end of the year, the superintendent called me into his office, and he said, John, he says, how'd you like to be president of the Rotary Club? And I take it back, what do you mean? Well, he said, we decided that what we ought to do was have a program taken over by the student Rotarians. And you're going to be the president. You're going to go ahead and set up the program, run it, everything that's big today, because I think it's main. Well, that was quite an undertaking for a country boy that was used to that sort of thing. But we did, and we got some of the all the kids together with Ben and Rory during the year, and we had someone to lead the singing, someone to do the program, and so on. We had a very good program. So that was one of the most interesting experiences I guess I had. I had another one, though, a few years ago. I went back to make up the Rotary, make up the Rotary Club, meeting instrumentation. And the interesting part of that was that how few changes there had been. There were still many of the same people had been there when I was a student Rotarian. A little older, they were there.
What kind of challenges did you have, like, in your country? There's different challenges in different places, but what kind of things did you have to encounter?
How do you mean that? I don't understand your question.
I mean, like, what kind of things did you have to adjust to? Like, obstacles?
In, as far as Rotary?
When you were a Rotarian in another country, as a senior.
I've never been in another country.
Oh.
No, that was a local club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I've never been to a Rotary meeting or anything in any other country.
Oh.
This was just another town.
Oh, okay. What kind of people were involved in Rotary in the past?
At that? Well, maybe that's a good, glad you asked me that question, because that brings up how Rotary people are elected to the club. To be a Rotarian, you have to be in a classification, a job classification. And only one person can be in that club of that classification. For instance, when I was high school principal, that was my category, high school principal. If we'd had another high school in our community, the other principal could not have been a member. It had to be in a different classification. Now, you could have a junior high school principal, an elementary principal, and so on. If you have an insurance person, you may have more than one insurance person, but it'll be different areas of insurance, life insurance, as opposed to automobile insurance. And looking at our own club here, we have, here's a person, classification of religion. Another one, food service, automobile, retail, health and fitness, education, banking, radio advertising, secondary education, this was me. And I'm what you call senior active now, because I'm no longer involved. If we could get Mrs. Honnefer to come to Rotary, we would have a classification for her. That's great, first thing. Variety store, funeral directing, clothing, stockbroker, banking, telephone service, retailing, fire insurance, bonds, another banking, farming, antique dealer, savings and loan association, so on. So there's all different categories.
So there's only one person for each category?
Category, right. Now, if you're interested in becoming a member, a member would propose you for membership with a certain classification. Mm-hmm. And then this is published, and if there's any objection by anyone, they can voice that objection. If not, then you become a member and go through the ceremony. So.
I guess, in conclusion, Mrs. Tidoff is going to kill me when she hears me asking this, but what advice would you give to a student like me who wants to be an exchange student next year? What advice would you give to them as far as different things they would have to do and how they would handle?
I think the big thing is to keep your mind open, be understanding, realize that there's going to be differences that you're going to be facing, and make yourself able to adapt. That is the big thing. You have to be open to your mind, thoughts, and push your understanding and realize they're individuals, they're different, they're going to be different things. I don't want you to lose your own principles or anything like that, but I think you have to go into it with an open mind. And having been involved in the interview when you were applying for this position, I think you'll do it.
Thanks.
You also.
That helps me kind of too. Thanks, well, I guess that's it.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks, sir.
For supper, because that usually took you a good 2.5 hours. Come back, go through the same deal again, and do the studying for the next day. And by that time, it's time to go to bed, because you're usually at an 8 o'clock class.
But see, you're not talking about an 18-year-old kid.
No, I'm not talking about an 18-year-old.
How old was your roommate?
Well, he was a veteran, too. So probably the same age as I was. I guess he was that old.
Maybe he was a little younger.
He might have been, but not much. He was married and had two kids.
Yeah. So, see, there were a lot of people going to school on the GI Bill that were not. They didn't have the time. They had family responsibilities. Plus, some of them had to work part-time, because I worked weekends. So, with what I worked made weekends, we could manage on what you got. But we didn't manage very well.
He would do his studying the same time I did mine, and there were other high school students going to college that were living in the same building as we were there. And the night before examinations, well, I'm telling you, those kids were up all night. The night before examinations, Ish and I would go to a movie. Because I don't think either one of us took more than 3 examinations all the time we were in college.
But I think you have to do it now, regardless.
If your grades were high enough, you just didn't take
but
examinations.
I think it's required regardless of what your grades are.
So we figured it was a paying proposition to study at night and watch the other guys beat their brains. But still, it was a lot of fun.
Well, sure, because your objectives weren't... You liked to study. For one thing, you liked going to school.
What I really enjoyed was going down the stacks in the university looking something up. And you start looking for something, and you find something else refers to it, well, then immediately I lose my train of thought. I go looking for something else. It's amazing the things you can find out. Especially with those books that are not put on the shelves.
The war interrupted a lot of